This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Ahead of a TEDx Rome conference on religious freedom April 19th, I spoke with the European director of TED, Bruno Giussani, about the global phenomenon that has everybody talking. What's in an idea? It can be created out of nothing but inspired imagination. It doesn't cost or weigh anything, and can travel at the speed of light across the globe. Yet an idea can reshape the way we think and act. It can impact a person, a community, and even nations. It was an idea that led to TED, a small nonprofit organization dedicated to spreading some of the best ideas out there and putting them on the net so anyone can access them.
I'm very fortunate to be here. I feel so fortunate. I've been so impressed by the kindness expressed to me. It feels like I've landed in a colony of angels.
John Hunter is surrounded by little angels and, no doubt, by little devils every day. He's a teacher and musician who gives a TED Talk about how he gets his 9-year-old fourth graders to solve the world's problems with his idea for a world peace game.
This world peace game I'd like to tell you about. It started out like this. It's just a 4-foot by 5-foot plywood board in the inner city urban school, 1978. I was creating a lesson for students on Africa. We put all the problems of the world there, and I thought, let's let them solve it. I didn't want to lecture or have just book reading. I wanted to have them be immersed and learn the feeling of learning through their bodies. So I thought, well, I like to play games. I'll make something, I didn't say interactive, we didn't have that term in 1978, but something interactive. And so we made the game, and it has since evolved to a 4-foot by 4-foot by 4-foot plexiglass structure, and it has 4 plexiglass layers. There's an outer space layer with black holes and satellites and research satellites and asteroid mining. There's an air and space level with clouds, big puffs of cotton we push around, and territorial airspaces and air forces. A ground and sea level with thousands of game pieces on it, even an undersea level with submarines and undersea mining. There are 4 countries around the board. The kids make up the names of their countries. Some are rich, some are poor. They have different assets, commercial and military. Each country has a cabinet. There's a prime minister, secretary of state, minister of defense, and a CFO or comptroller. I choose the prime minister based on my relationship with them. I offer them the job, they can turn it down. And then they choose their own cabinet. There's a World Bank, arms dealers, and a United Nations. There's also a weather goddess who controls a random stock market and random weather. That's not all. And then there's a 13-page crisis document with 50 interlocking problems. So that if one thing changes, everything else changes. I throw them into this complex matrix, and they trust me because we have a deep, rich relationship together. And so with all these crises, we have, ethnic and minority tensions. We have chemical and nuclear spills, nuclear proliferation. There's oil spills, environmental disasters, water rights disputes, breakaway republics, famine, endangered species, and global warming. If Al Gore is here, I'm going to send my fourth graders from Agna Hurt and Venable School to you because they solved global warming in a week. And they've done it several times. So I also have in the game a saboteur. Some child, it's basically a troublemaker. And I have my troublemaker put to use because they, on the surface, are trying to save the world in their position in the game, but they're also trying to undermine everything in the game. They do it secretly through misinformation, ambiguities, and irrelevancies, trying to cause everyone to think more deeply. The saboteur is there, and we also read from Sun Tzu's The Art of War. Fourth graders understand it, 9 years old, and they handle that and use that to understand how to not follow, at first they do, the path to power and destruction, the path to war. They learn to overlook short-sighted reactions and impulsive thinking to think in a long-term, more consequential way. Stuart Brand is here, and one of the ideas for this game came from him with the Coevolution Quarterly article on a peace force. And in the game, sometimes students actually form a peace force. I'm just a clock watcher. I'm just a clarifier. I'm just a facilitator. The students run the game. I have no chance to make any policy whatsoever once they start playing.
The world peace game is serious. You're actually getting taught something and how to take care of the world. See, Mr. Hunter is doing that because he says his time has messed up a lot. And he's trying to tell us how to fix that problem.
I offered them a... Actually, I can't tell them anything because I don't know the answer, and I admit the truth to them right up front. I don't know. And because I don't know, they've got to dig up the answer. And so I apologize to them as well. I say, I'm so sorry, boys and girls, but the truth is we have left this world to you in such a sad and terrible shape. We hope you can fix it for us, and maybe this game will help you learn how to do it.
Hunter's idea for the leaders of tomorrow to start working for peace today is just one of hundreds of online TED.com talks whose motto reads, Ideas Worth Spreading.
There is a lot of power in two things. There is a lot of power in sharing an idea, a piece of knowledge, a piece of information, and in sharing it very, very openly, freely. So not putting a price tag on it, but giving it. Not constraining it into given formats, but just create a sort of frame, and within the frame let that idea take different shapes.
TED's European director, Bruno Giussani, spoke to me about the kinds of ideas that TED tries to promote, the kind of ideas he says that tend to solve problems.
There are ideas that tend to solve problems or to offer a way to solve problems. There are ideas that tend to help us better understand who we are and how we relate to each other and how we can work together, how we can live together. There are ideas that help have a better understanding of the world that surrounds us and similar ones. So touching really every field of human ingenuity.
TED sponsors two pricey conferences each year, one in California and one in Edinburgh, Scotland, gathering some 70 experts who speak about everything from science and technology, philosophy, medicine, spirituality, and economics. But the list goes on. Bruno is part of the TED team that curates the programs of those conferences.
So we go out and try to find the speakers we really want. Under a specific theme, every conference has a specific theme.
Sorry, can you just give me some examples?
Yeah, there's a theme, the stuff of life, which is, of course, about life, biology, chemistry, and all the other things. And it's also about the stuff, so the stuff that makes life possible, that makes life enjoyable, that makes life meaningful, and so on. Stuff is a kind of trivial keyword, but you know it covers many, many different things. We had a conference whose theme was "And Now the Good News," and it was the idea that you open a newspaper or watch the newscast in the evening and
the bad news. News,
and it looks like the world is going down. Maybe the world is becoming a bit chaotic and more chaotic than before. But if you scratch under the surface, there is a lot of reason to be more hopeful and optimistic, and that was the angle of the conference. So that's the kind of things we do. So the conferences are at the center of our constellation of activities, together with the next stage, which is the distribution of the talks given at the conference through the internet, on TED.com and other websites. So we film them up to television standards, several cameras. We design the stage in a way that's very conducive to the speaker being a sort of rock star of knowledge. So we try to dramatize a little bit the way the story is told, because what we realized is if it's told in the right way and is scripted in the right way, the passion the speaker puts into telling the story to the live audience translates to the video audience, and that's what makes the idea travel further. So we do these things, and around that we have created a constellation of other activities, a fellowship, a prize, social networking tools, a TED book series, collaborations with corporations and with broadcasters and others to expand this platform and expand the conversation.
Okay, where do you get your support, your financial support? I mean, if you're a nonprofit, how do you keep going?
Well, we do have two revenue streams. The one is people pay fees to come to our two conferences, and they're not cheap. The American conference costs $7,500, the European $6,000.
But doesn't that limit the sort of person that you're reaching?
Yes, but even if it was free, we could not get more people because the theater only has 1,000 seats, and therefore we would lose the resources that allows us to give away millions of copies of free videos. And we would not get one single person more at the conference. So it's a trade-off we need to do. So we work on a model that's roughly a continuum, where on one end you have the exclusive and expensive. Those are our two annual conferences. On the other end, you have the free and open, and those are millions of videos distributed online for free with subtitles in up to 80 languages, licenses, free licenses to organize local conferences using our model, content for television broadcasters that they can use for free, and other things like that. So the first finances and funds, the second. So tickets to the conference are the first revenue stream, and the second one is sponsors and partners to the conferences and to the TED.com website. That's where the money comes from, to pay for all the rest. So we do things like that, as well as we work with, you know, scientists on projects, and we work with adventurers, and we work with explorers, and we have a project to create protected marine areas in the oceans, another to open schools for mathematically gifted kids in Africa so they can go up to the level where they can go to the best colleges, and plenty of other things. It's very, very broad and very, very spread. It used to be that scholarship, it still is. Scholarship is considered to be a deeper and deeper understanding of one narrower and narrower set of things, and we want to go the other direction. We want to, instead of going only deep, we want to also go broad. We think that there is a missing dimension there in the role that ideas can play in human progress and in cultural advancement, which is ideas needs to spread and circulate freely and widely, because that's how they meet, how they compete, how they confront each other, how they spark off each other and create new, potentially better, more just ideas.
Mm-hmm. How do you, through your platform, how do you reach governments, the political sphere, in order to bring change or to bring better government?
Well, there are several ways, and of course, certainly we can pursue, and others not, because we only have a limited number of people and resources. What we try to do, first of all, we try to involve key politicians in our discussions. Participate at the conference, come and give a speech. Let's, you know, get them involved in brainstormings and these kind of things. Very often what's happening actually is that it's not us trying to influence them, is the videos that we release on the internet that get to them.
Jusani cites Honduras, whose government leaders heard a TED Talk by an expert on ways to jumpstart emerging economies. They later hired him as a consultant, he said. And a few years back, as the Greek government entered into discussions on education reform, the first thing the prime minister did, he said, was to show his cabinet a TED Talk by British educational scientist Ken Robinson. That talk has become one of the most popular on TED.com, downloaded millions of times.
So it's not us influencing, we are just providing a platform. Really, we don't want to play a lobbying role, we don't want to play a political role. We are really trying hard to create an open platform as broad as possible to extend the conversation and to let idea travel. And then some of them have legs of their own and some of them don't. And it's inevitable. It's like when you read a book and some chapters are good and others less good. But we really try hard to create an open space where this conversation can happen and can happen freely and openly.